The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today we are all in with Cody, don't call him Rhodes, and the Young Bucks as we hear the whole story about their all-in pay-per-view happening September 1st, just a couple weeks, at the Sears Center in Chicago. And guess what? It sold 10,000 tickets with no card announced in less than 30 minutes. Unbelievable. And if you can't believe it, wait till you hear how Matt, Nick, and Cody reacted when they found out. Cody and the Bucks are here to tell you exactly how All In came together, including the story behind the name and the talent and matches they've booked since the big announcement was made. They've got great behind-the-scenes stories from the press conference they had to announce All In, and we discuss what this incredible event means for pro wrestling all across the board as we know it. It's a great, great time for wrestling, as you'll hear, and it's a great time and place to debut the Young Bucks' new entrance theme. That's right. I got a call from Meat Sauce Media. They recorded the new Young Bucks theme. They wanted to debut it right here on Talk is Jericho, and that's what we're going to do, an exclusive coming up on this show, the Young Bucks' new ring entrance music. You're going to hear first, people. Oh, yeah. So let's get ready for the debut of the Bucks' new music, and then we'll get ready for All In with Cody and the Bucks, and get ready to rock with Fozzy as we make our way through the United States. Once again, the fourth leg in the United States on the Judas Rising Tour, kicking off with a sold-out show in Atlanta at Smith's Old Bar with The Stir. Then we kick it up in Birmingham at the Saturn on the 25th, Huntsville at Sidetracks Music Hall on the 26th. We're joined by Adelita's Way, Stone Broken, and The Stir. 29th is Clarksville, Tennessee at O'Connor's. 30th, Springfield at the Bank of Springfield Center. 31st, Little Rock, Arkansas at the Revolution Music Room. And we ease on down the road. We're in Kansas City, close to it, Merriam, Kansas, in September 1st. And then September 2nd, we go to Madison, Wisconsin for A Taste of Madison, the Rock Radio Festival there. And then we continue on down all the way to September 29th in Fort Lauderdale. Go to FozzyRock.com for all information. We're also going to be in Camden, New Jersey on October 6th at the Rock Allegiance Show. Then we head off to Australia, New Zealand, Auckland on the 7th of November, Melbourne on the 9th of November. That's my birthday. 10th is in Sydney, 13th Adelaide, 14th Brisbane. And then we join 3 Days Grace for a few dates on their Canadian tour. 21st in Moncton, 23 Halifax, 24 Quebec City, 25 Montreal. FozzyRock.com for all info, ticket information, and VIP information. You don't want to miss out on Fozzy's amazing VIP. We play a mini concert for you. We meet you, we greet you, we sign your stuff, we take pictures, do whatever you want to do. It's one of the best VIPs in the business. Go to FozzyRock.com and join the hundreds of people who are already signed up. We're already sold out in Melbourne and Sydney for Fozzy VIP. So if you want to join us for VIP, don't wait, don't hesitate, make it happen. All right, I promised that you'd hear it here first. It's the Young Bucks' brand new theme music. It's called Super Kick Party, and you can stream it and buy it now wherever you get music, or you can go to meatsaucemedia.com and pre-order the limited edition championship gold bundle. Only 300 of these available, and you get a limited edition gold vinyl record, a limited edition magnet bumper sticker, and a limited edition t-shirt that has the vinyl artwork on it. All right, pre-order it now at meatsaucemedia.com. Be a part of the Young Bucks Revolution. Their new theme song, Super Kick Party. Here you go. It's an exclusive debut right here on Talk is Jericho.
Super Kick Party!
We'll be right back. killing the business.
I know you guys got business to do. You always got new shirts coming in.
One, two,
that
three,
took me
four.
Out, too. It's like a tripwire. Both me and Matt Jackson, two very agile pro wrestlers. We can do moonsaults and flips, and we both almost fell down over a cord.
That was close.
We was very close. We're backstage here in Osaka at the Joe Hall. Very successful, big show tonight.
What a show.
Crap. I mean, great show. Three out of the four of us, Cody notwithstanding. Won titles tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
We all went over those, most importantly.
Yeah. And Cody, so
he got the pin.
Cody beat Liger.
Yeah, I won. I'm doing a new title. It was the Legends title.
Oh,
yeah. I had all the Legends.
Now, let me ask you this. I know you guys might be as well, but probably not. Cody's one of the biggest pure wrestling fans I've ever met. He knows so much about wrestling trivia. Obviously, grew up under the shadow of Dusty and his brother and all that other stuff. Now, you were a big NWA fan, so you must have seen Liger back in the day. Mm-hmm. Is it cool for you to actually have a match with him?
So I did an interview on Liger for Ring of Honor. We had a singles match in Toronto.
Liger. So you've worked him before.
And going into that, I didn't know what to say for my promo on him. And I just brought up the fact that I broke my family's unspoken rule with Liger. I got his autograph backstage.
Ooh, and what was the rule?
The rule was no pictures, no autographs. Don't bother any of the guys. Stay with Doug Dillinger.
What a pleasant guy he was.
Yeah, Doug was, I thought he was like the greatest security guard in the world until I saw, thought he was still a great security guard, but until I saw what other security guards look like.
Doug,
unsuspecting
Doug
looking. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I went up to Liger in the hall, and he was like getting ready to walk to the ring, and he had no clue I was or anything like that. He's super sweet, and he gave it to me. And every time I sign one of the boards out here for New Japan, when you do the signing, you sign the board. He gave me a board.
Oh,
and I was like, it was like a full authentic Japanese experience in the hallway before he wrestled Brian Pillman or whatever.
Yeah. And here you are tonight, pinning him.
That's great.
Right in the center, too.
You know, there's a funny story about Liger. Whenever you have a really good match with him, usually, I think it's a singles match usually, though. This is the rule, I think. You have a really good singles match with Liger. Afterward, if he likes the match, he'll take you over to where they sell a lot of the drinks.
Vending machines.
Yeah. They have a million of them in every building. And he'll go, what do you want? I'm like,
really?
Yeah, and he'll buy me a Coke Zero or something. And
he'll buy you
and
a nice
rewards
coffee.
You.
So but
we've been
in compliment.
We've been in 10 men, though, actually, where he bought nine other dudes sodas. That's the compliment.
That's the one.
They gave me the Iggy on that because I was like, why does he want to buy me this?
Yeah, you did
Coke
good.
So
he's
bad.
Wow. He's rewarding you.
Here's the funny thing. I wrestled Liger about 6 times. He never bought me shit.
You guys must have really stunk it up, I guess.
Here's a quick story. You'll appreciate this. Yeah. So I was over in Japan with Bobby Eaton, best guy in the world, but also super skittish. Like La Parca with his mask off, Bobby saw him and was scared. Wouldn't go talk to him because he just thought he looked so evil and ugly. And we used to go to this club in Orlando called 8 Tracks at Disney Kingdom where we used to film.
Uh-huh.
And there was 8 Tracks was a 70s bar. And on the wall, there was a poster of The Omen. The movie The Omen, and Bobby wouldn't go into that bar because he was So we were in Japan, and it's like, well, give me a coffee. I can't find a coffee. I was like, well, you can buy coffee at the vending machine, Bobby.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm going to make him sound like Elvis. So I convinced him to finally buy an iced coffee out of the vending machine, and he gets it, and he opens it, and he drinks it, and he's like, spits it out. And on the underside of the thing, we go, whoosh, there was a freaking maggot.
Holy crap.
Somehow an egg got laid in
So
poor Bobby was like after a week of like, just try it. It's really good. So you got to be careful with those vending machines.
I'm scared.
I got
all the time.
I got mad at one of the vending machines out here because I just used my little, we call it play money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used my little
play money and I got a hot one out of the vending machine. Yeah. I wanted one of the cold ones, but
it's either red or blue, baby.
Disgusting.
Yeah. But literally, I looked, I go, how did you not figure it out? That's right. I picked the red one. Yeah.
You ever try the real gold? It's a drink. It's like a little energy.
It's
really good.
No, I have not.
Oh, you have to try
it. Real gold?
Delicious.
We used to drink Bacardi Sweat.
Oh, yeah. We had one earlier today. Yeah.
Which is a great name for a drink.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
It's like a Gatorade type of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I did a little Instagram story and I was looking at vending machines at the train station. I'm like, oh, look, Bacardi Sweat, my favorite drink.
Yep.
We're sponsored by Monster Energy. And I actually got a call from the Monster Energy guy. You need to say that. Monster Energy is your favorite drink. I'm like, dude, it's Bacardi Sweat. It's a joke. It's the worst name,
right?
Refreshing drink you can
could ever want, right?
I don't. Is Bakari Sweat like Gatorade?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Really light Gatorade.
It took me a while to figure it out. I got one. It's pretty good. Yeah.
After a match, it's really good, actually. After you wrestle Liger and he buys you one, it's even
better. He buys you one.
They have Bakari Sweat Zeros now.
Yeah, those are good.
Oh, really?
Sounds so ridiculous.
They have great drinks. Like a Twinkie Light, like a low calorie Twinkie or something.
But every block, there's like 10 vending machines. So it's like there's endless supplies of drinks. So I think I'm like, why do I pee so much in Japan? I wake up 5 times a night. I'm like, oh, because I drink 27 drinks a day. Yeah.
And also with the vending machines that sell beer, if you find one of those in a hotel, you can stay up all night drinking. If you do, I know you guys don't, but that always was a nice thing to be able to do as well.
Actually, the last time we were in Osaka was a year ago, and we were in Osaka when Kenny and Okada did the time limit. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, we all were sitting there, and I walked across the street and got a 6-pack of Asahi Tall Boys.
Oh, I remember this story.
And it slipped my mind. I guess I knew you didn't drink, but I don't know, thought maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe Kenny. Yeah. And we all just had McDonald's, and I had this 6-pack of these Tall Boys, and I just drank them all to myself. Yeah. I didn't really eat much of the McDonald's, so I was kind of drunk. Just embarrassed. just felt like
bad, right?
Yeah, feeling bad. I like slipped and fell into my door getting into the room.
Did we use the joke? Is this going to be the first time the Young Bucks do alcohol?
Yeah, Nick regularly will hit the. There's been a couple. Because
he used
quotes.
That in a regular sentence. So because this is how straight edge we are. I guess we don't even know how to use the references. Like I drink alcohol. Nick's like, yeah, I've never done alcohol in my life. Cody's like, wait a minute.
You don't say. He also hit one at Cracker Barrel. There's those kerosene lamps.
Yeah.
What'd you say? You go, what is this? What is this? A pot lamp?
Say that. Yeah. What is this? That's called like a bong or something, right?
Anything other than negative.
Come on, man.
Hey, pass over the pot lamp.
See, that's always the joke. After we've had a really long day or something, Cody or Marty or whoever, Hangman, the joke is like, hey, maybe this will be the first time the Bucks do alcohol.
Yeah. Matt's wife will have, she'll indulge in a single Blue Moon.
Yes.
That to me is like drinking with them, though. It's like that moment. We shared one amongst ourselves. I was like, okay, it's like drinking with Matt.
That's why you like when Dana's on the road. You're like, well, someone will drink with
him. Someone will drink. Yeah.
You know what's funny is that so we're doing the Jericho Cruise, which I'm sure by the time this airs, some of our videos will be out, which we'll talk about being the Elite.
Right.
So I'm like now, and you guys know this. We're going to talk about All In, which is why we're here. But you know, like now we're on the other side of the coin of being promoters.
Yeah.
And I'm promoting this cruise. So I'm on email chains. I get 50 emails. And I don't even know, like, I have a partner who does all the technical stuff.
Sure.
I don't know what they're talking about. So I kept seeing these emails, a few emails from Dana Massey.
Okay.
And she's talking about selling board shorts, Young Bucks board shorts.
Yes, I know about this. Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's inventive. I'm like, so I said to Mark, my partner, I'm like, who's, like, I know, like, okay, Darby and Natalie and Alec. Like, who's Dana Massey? Is she a new person from the cruise company?
Right.
And he's like, no, I don't know who that is. I'm like, who is Dana Massey? Young Bucks? Wait a second, Massey? Oh!
Yeah.
So that's funny. Either Nick or Matt's wife.
Yeah. She told me about that. She pitched buying board shorts. She's like, how have you guys not thought about this? Because we're getting actual Young Bucks board shorts.
Right, and that's what she was talking about.
Yes.
So I get an email back to like, we don't know if we're, I'm like, no, they're going to buy them themselves and sell them themselves.
Right. But she was looking for like a hookup.
I was hip to the Dana Massey connection.
She does not stop working.
Yeah.
She's like the brains behind the whole operation. Honestly.
I've noticed with creative decisions for All In, we'll make a creative decision or we'll do something today as an example of one. And then we forget the clerical elements or the technical. And then there's Dana with today. It was, we just put some new talent on the show.
Travel.
Yeah, they're not on the rooming list. I don't have a travel
text
right away.
See, here's the funny thing, and this is where we come from. We're the creative guys.
Yeah.
Like I had this idea of doing like maybe some Impact versus Ring of Honor matches. So I talked to Don Callis, and we started doing videos and tweets, and we're building up this whole thing. And then I get an email from Ring of Honor, basically saying like, "What the hell are you doing?
Right.
We don't know anything about this." And then the cruise line's like, we have nobody under contract. There's no insurance. I'm like, well, that's your guys' job.
Yeah, you deal with that.
Right? We just put together the shit. Like that's Vince told me one time, he goes, I go, well, what are we supposed to do on this? He goes, I don't know. I just booked the shit. You figure it out.
That's a great line.
All right. So let's talk about All In and how it's sold out in 30 minutes. That's insane. But before we do, I got to tell everyone about the new protein bars I found. RX bars. My whole family is digging these bars because they're made from real whole ingredients. They don't add any chemicals or additives or extra sugar. And they have RX bars for adults and RX bars for for kids as well. And the ingredients are printed right on front of the bar. And you know how important that is for my family because two of my kids have type 1 diabetes. So we have to be careful about the snacks that they eat, the carbs that are included, the sugars. So I've tried the mixed berry, peanut butter chocolate, and chocolate sea salt RX bars. I got to be honest, I love the mixed berry. But I also like the peanut butter as well. They make them for kids too, but that seems to be the one the kids like best in my house, the peanut butter chocolate RX, and also the chocolate chip bar and PB&J bars. The reason why they're so popular at my house is all RX bars are made with egg whites for protein, dates, and other ingredients like unsweetened chocolate, real fruit, and spices like sea salt and cinnamon. The kids' version of the RX bar is smaller, texture's a little softer, and the nuts are chopped up into smaller pieces, but they also have different flavors than the adult bars. And remember, all of the RX bars, adult and kids, are gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, and most importantly, they are delicioso. I like eating them because they actually taste good. They don't have a bad aftertaste. They are what I'm looking for in a protein bar. I've been bringing them with me on the plane, on the Fozzie tour. I throw them in my bag, keep them on the bus. They're perfect for days that we're so busy doing interviews and press that we don't have time to really eat. I just grab an RX bar and go, go, go. Also, great fuel after a workout. I do a little DDP yoga and grab a chocolate peanut butter RX bar. You can do the same. My family and I dig in the RX bars so much, I thought I would hook you up as well. So here's the deal. You can get an exclusive pack of 6 adult bars and 4 kids bars. Throw the kids bars in your kids' lunch boxes or have them for after school snacks or practices. Ash takes them to football practice. And once your kids try them, they'll start asking for RX bars. They taste that good. And you get 25% off your first order of this exclusive RX bar pack by going to rxbar.com/Jericho and entering the promo code Jericho at checkout. That's rxbar.com/Jericho. Use the promo code Jericho at checkout to get 25% off your first order. You are going to love these. The adult bars come in 14 flavors. The kids bars come in 6 flavors. Give them a try and let me know the ones you like best on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. And don't forget to take advantage of my special deal. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/Jericho and use the promo code at Jericho at checkout. You gotta give these a try. They are the tastiest protein bars you can have. They are Jericho guaranteed. Go check them out now. rxbar.com/Jericho. Superkick Pot
Time! So let's talk about All In.
Yeah.
Which, now that we're on the other side of the coin, of this show that was publicized and built up for months, and then it goes on sale and sells out basically in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Tell us the whole story about how this came about. And before you do, speaking of Vince, I told Vince about All In about 4 or 5 months ago. And we were just discussing and shooting the breeze. And I said, yeah, the show is in September in Chicago. And Vince is like, oh, I wish they would have called me. He goes, September's the worst time of year to promote. It's terrible. And I'm like, you know, old school 40 years of promoting. And he goes, they should have called me. Like, hey,
Vince, I got him on my phone.
It's Matt Jackson here.
Hey, Vince, it's Cody. I got the Young Bucks on the phone. A couple questions about promoting in the
Cody,
fall.
How are you?
Don't say Rhodes. but so even he was saying how hard it was to promote in September. And you guys just blow all that shit out of the water. So continue, but tell us the...
It's funny, another older,
yes,
seasoned promoter,
ticket broker,
Kerry Silken, implored us. I mean, laid into us about you can't go on sale on a Sunday. You just can't.
You have to do a pre-sale.
You can't, and you've got to do a pre-sale.
Yeah.
You can't, and we had already announced.
Yeah,
the ship had already sailed.
Yes, too late.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been doing this for 30 years. We're like, well...
Yeah, and he kept going, and then we saw him, you know, a few weeks after the sellout, you know, like you said, in 30 minutes, and I was so wrong.
Can I just say I did get a DM from Kerry Silken offering his services for the cruise.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Kerry's the man.
Yeah, shout out to Kerry Silken.
Round that out.
I have no clue.
Yep.
Until he sold it.
I know you've told the story on other shows, but this is my freaking show and no one knows it. But tell us the whole basis of All In.
Okay.
First of all, pass me the Grey Goose so I can pour.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought you're sipping water.
No. He's doing alcohol.
He's doing alcohol.
He's doing alcohol.
I'm about ready to take some Grey Goose.
So, All In, ROH does this tour called the War of the Worlds tour. And it's been two War of the Worlds ago.
Yes.
And I noticed the combination amongst friends, however you did the combination, whether the Young Bucks were in the main event or whether I did the main event or whether Kenny did the main event or whether me, Marty, Hangman, I noticed that no matter what, we were ending the show with a Bullet Club party.
Mm. Yep.
And these are Stage AE in Pittsburgh, for example. These are like 1,100, 1,300 seats. But just the sentiment was that of 10,000 people. Like, they didn't want to leave.
It was a party.
It was a party. Yeah. They didn't want to leave. The match was great that they got to see, but we were coming up with all this stuff to do after these bits.
Right.
And it became, I don't know, just kind of this gut feeling. This is just for me talking. I think Matt and Nick both thought they could this would already be done. It just became this huge confidence booster that why I like Stage AE and I like these more intimate settings, but why aren't we taking a risk?
Right.
Why aren't we betting on this? I mean, we're
betting
seeing
on yourself.
It. Why aren't we betting on ourselves? And hey, if somebody's not comfortable, like, for example, if Ring of Honor is not comfortable putting that money up, or New Japan's not comfortable, if we don't have an investor, who gives a damn? We're doing pretty well.
Mm.
Why don't we just put our money in together?
Right.
And live forever, you know? Like,
Take a shot.
Take a shot.
Yeah.
And it was that tour specifically for me that made me think, absolutely, we could get, there seems to be so much Bullet Club, being the elite love. And when we did the Invasion being the elite, that was another example. If we crowdsourced that group in 30
That's
minutes
right.
and we've got 1,000 people.
That was a big wake-up call.
Yeah.
What did you guys do?
We did an episode of Being the Elite where we invaded Raw. If they knew how little we actually invaded, they probably...
Is that with the Jimmy Jacobs?
Jimmy Jacobs got fired. Yes. If they knew how little we actually invaded, they probably...
fired accidentally on purpose, I still claim.
Yes.
He didn't want to be there.
Yes. Oh, it was obvious.
If you can catch me in the corner of the shot when he comes over to take the picture with them, in my face, you can clearly see me thinking... This is not a good idea.
Jimmy, are you sure?
Yes,
Jimmy.
Hey, how are you, bud? But this is not a good idea.
Yeah. Especially when he hashtagged like Raw Invasion, Elite Raw Invasion or something.
He used the hashtag.
EDE Invasion
of
Raw.
We got in the limo and I said, I hope he doesn't put that out. And then Matt just goes, holding his phone up. And I was like,
oh.
Yeah, but that
the hashtag.
That was we had given fans literally 30 minutes. We just wanted to have a couple fans for a parking lot scene.
Right.
We were shocked to find out how many showed up.
Our brother-in-law showed up there, and he's like, there's 300 people here. And we were like, what? And like they called us the cops.
It just kept growing.
Just put like a random tweet.
Yeah, we're going to show up here. We're just trying to gather people so we can get a good shot.
Right.
We wanted to make it look like we were heading into Citizens Bank.
Cops were called.
We were across the street from Citizens Bank.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The invasion was at the mall, actually.
here's the best thing, though. And Cody, you know this. Like, obviously, we've been on that side of the coin working for Vince, working for WWE. And the fact that they sold it so much, it intrigues me to the fact that, okay, so Vince knows who the Young Bucks are and obviously knows you, but so angry. Like, cease and desist. And we talked about it the last time you guys were on the show. That just blew my mind. You know, I really think that sometimes if you can do something the right way / wrong way, Vince gets super mad about it. And you guys now are all on that radar.
Yeah, sure.
It does shock me that people who are so seasoned, I mean, it's Vince McMahon. He built the kind of modern industry. It's Vince. It's Hunter.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that even after all that seasoning and everything they've seen, how, like to your point, how angry.
Basically a bunch of buffoons showing up standing outside of the arena.
Right.
Pretending to do.
Doing the innovation. Independence Day speech at the mall.
It was really harmless, actually, and fun if you go back and watch it.
Yeah, and it covered one thing. I actually sent a message to a couple people in the office and said, hey, if there's any heat. Because that night I felt so bad, especially when the cease and desist comes out. I said, if there's any heat, it's on me. But I did say, I said, if you watch it, we're talking about being the elite stuff.
Yes. There's a big
Papa Buck is showing up front, and we're getting the Stooge is it has so little to do with whatever was going on at that show.
And a lot of it was a parody of the DX invasion.
Right.
Yeah. Of course.
Including the infamous line that apparently was the line that pissed them off the most was, what did they paper the house?
Yeah.
Which is directly ripped off of the other invasion.
From that.
But you know what? That fan, we didn't plant that line. We genuinely thought he had tickets to the show. And he's like, no, I got them for free. And we were like, oh, like we didn't tell him to say that.
That did fall in our lap a little bit.
Yeah.
But see, that's the, like you said, we live in a really cool world right now, and all of us have discussed this separately, where wrestling is so healthy. Yes. Not just WWE. We mentioned the $2.3 billion deal. Yeah. Those guys are completely different stratosphere.
Right. Yeah.
They will be around until, you know, the planet explodes. Mm-hmm. But other sides of the coin, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and all the stuff you guys are doing, the Hot Topic deals. Right. I mean, all four of us are making big money outside of the WWE system, which never could have happened five years ago. You know what I mean?
It's absurd.
And it just shows, and that's another reason why I think All In became so popular, because you guys made it like the cool thing to do.
Yeah. Sure.
And there's enough people out there that want to be involved with wrestling outside of the WWE.
It's a movement.
Right.
Yep. You know, a lot of it has to do with our YouTube show, because it became such a, like, we had like a cult following. It's like they watch week to week every single week. It's become our platform for being the elite. Yeah. And like we started realizing how big it was getting when we would come to these shows, like Cody was talking about, and like every fan knew every single bit.
Yeah.
They knew every single new person we introduced on the show. Like
Flip Gordon's a huge example.
Right. Like, so we realized like that was another thing that like we could gauge the audience. We were like, wait a minute, they love everything we're doing right now. And like our lines of the meet and greets, like compared to the other guys, it's blow.
It starts like growing more,
and we realized they just watch our show. Like, do they even watch my matches? You know what? They just watch the show.
When Matt and I realized it for sure was when fans would come up to us and meet us and not compliment us over our matches. It was, hey, I like your YouTube show.
Love your show. Love your show. That's all we hear.
Wow, maybe
love your show.
This is it.
Yeah,
this is it.
Well, so we filmed some stuff over the last couple of days.
Yes, we have
to announce the big match on the cruise, and it's so much fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Like I was saying to you guys, like, you know, being, I don't even, two generations old or whatever it is, when we were here in the 90s for 3 weeks for New Japan, the biggest diversion was me getting Scott Norton drunk and rubbing Yaku Yaku. And is it Yaku Yaku? Yoko Yoko? What's the?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to.
It's the old school, like hot, icy hot.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yoko Yoko.
Okay.
I used to get him really drunk and he'd go, hey, put the Yoko Yoko on my eyes. And I'd do it. You did it again. Well, you asked me to. And that was what we did for 3 weeks. You guys actually have, you know, cameras and recorders and all this other stuff. And it's like, it's you're using it to benefit this extra time. It's a, like
it's a lot of work, though. Like you just said a minute ago, where Kenny just did 64 and a half minutes or whatever.
Making
it was.
Him film a bit right after.
Making him film right away.
Yeah.
Also, Nick has become a full editor. Master editor. It went from like
on the fly.
Went from like a couple hard cuts to like full fades and buzz. I mean, unreal, like master editor.
We did one yesterday where we all joined the Alpha Club, and then we were in my room, and then I gave them all Alpha Club pins, and I said, okay, stop. Now move the seats forward and film the Alpha Club pins so we can zoom up and see Marty Scurll staring out of my closet.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it's like we were getting the different shots.
We're trying to get the lighting right.
It's so much fun, though.
How's the framing here?
AKA using a lamp.
Yeah. You're right. You use what you get.
That's great. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing I noticed, because when they asked me the first time that you want to do being the elite, I thought like, sure. Seems fun. Like,
what is it? Yeah.
Yeah, seems like a, like, I don't know. Seems like a fun thing.
Yeah, and you caught on right away.
Right.
Like,
you loved it right away.
Oh, I fell in love right away. Wanted deeply to be involved. But I noticed when they filmed backstage at Ring of Honor, people kind of like
roll their eyes,
chuckle, because you're literally telling people, hold on, they're filming with your phone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now I've noticed when that phone comes out. Either everybody, they're doing the pretend learning, or they just...
Or they're trying to get the shot.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to be involved.
And I'm thinking, man, that's so cool. Like, now it's a thing. Because we used to write on our door as a joke, being the elite filming, please be quiet.
Yes.
And the first couple times it got ripped off, and now you can put that anywhere. It's like, oh,
most of the guys want to be on it. So now they can't make fun of it.
And we're very picky with who we choose. Like people we just love. Like,
well, you got to have guys that can get the vibe of it.
Absolutely.
The improv.
If I was running being the elite, it'd be the worst show ever. Because
you just want
I just
want
to be on it all the time. And everybody that starts to pick up, I'll sidebar like, I don't know.
And you're just seemed throwing
little,
things.
Seemed a little long. Yeah. Seemed a little long.
You threw a chair. You threw your jacket on the ground.
Yeah. Cody hates whenever we give the rub to anyone.
When there's
else,
a new like, star, you can yeah. see me like.
It took him girl. A while for Flip Gordon.
Yeah. Now let's talk about
the Flip Heat's yeah. real.
You mentioned Flip a couple yeah. times. So the one of the big things for All In is that Flip Gordon wants to get booked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he can't get booked.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a story.
Life isn't whatever. Fair, man.
Well, you never. Yeah, exactly, man.
And for shoot, we need three thumbs up for everything that yes. we do book.
That's true.
And so at this point, it's two thumbs up. And
Cody's the stickler.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell.
So that's the yeah. storyline that we've been running. And I want you know what? It's helped Flip tremendously.
We don't even know who he is. Exactly.
Yeah, I just saw a clip from him. He was at WrestlePro.
Clip Gordon?
Or clip of Flip. And the whole crowd is doing the book, Flip. And he's got the shirt on. Yep. And I'm thinking, this.
It worked.
He got
this
so
shouldn't have, yes. but it
so
worked.
Quick.
Yeah.
Yep. See, but,
yeah.
So didn't. So let me ask you a question. The rumor that I heard about this is that you or maybe no, you took exception. Maybe the three of you took exception.
Yes.
To this Dave Meltzer saying that Ring of Honor would never draw 10,000 people.
Yeah, it's all.
Is
yeah,
that what happened?
Cody so, got more mad than us.
Cody gets mad at stuff. I get random texts.
He gets mad all the time.
Yeah. 3 see, in the morning.
Lately, you've been
Cody,
getting some random a bunch, texts.
And random requests as well, which I then...
He'll make an announcement for the cruise, and then a random text will come in.
He gets so mad. And he's saying, oh, you need to book so-and-so. And you get rid of him, like, hey, hello, Ring of Honor, Cognoscenti, Brass. I have a request to book so-and-so from a bunch of people on the cruise. Can you throw him in there? Well, we don't know. Cody, they don't know. We'll pay his expenses. Okay, so now we're paying guys' expenses.
Yeah,
the cruise just to make you happy.
This particular it. Person we're talking about, know, we need it. We I need it on is. The cruise.
I already said, please bring him on. So there you go. So you heard something? Or?
Yeah, no, he tweeted. I mean, when Rolling Stone did that little snippet on us, that's like they screenshotted that tweet, and then he tweeted. Somebody said, "Do you think Ring of Honor could do 10,000 people at the moment?" And he said, no, not now. I don't see that. He didn't even say anything mean.
He just said, no, not now or anytime soon.
Anytime soon. Yeah, and then I just said, I'll take that bet.
You took exception to it.
I took exception, but it wasn't hard. It wasn't real negative. I just said, I'll take that bet and we'll see from there. But right. when I said that, I didn't immediately call Nick or call Matt and say, hey, we've got to do this.
We were planning it anyway.
Yeah, so we were already
fuel to the fire, kind of.
We were planning on doing a big show.
We were already talking about it.
And why the three of you guys?
I think we're the only three guys that have the balls to, yeah. to try
just
it.
Cowboys, bro. Just yeah. cowboys.
But it's like yeah. you said, and we talked about this earlier, like even we were talking about sponsor dinners last night. Like Don and I had a horrible experience at the sponsor dinner where we had to go and hang out. And it's like, listen, we have money. Right. We can buy our own freaking dinner.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not saying that from like a, we're rich. Like you, if you have the money to invest, sometimes you have to take a chance to do something. Right. So you guys made a decision like we're going to try and do this. Did you know you're going to finance it yourself?
I mean, that was the main part right. of the decision yep. is asking around places like, hey, are you interested in, you know,
and why
sponsoring?
Would anyone want to do that? Yeah, like, we're unproven
no, we have no
promoters. Right?
We have no, yeah, exactly. we have no you
know, we're just three dudes. Yes.
We have no experience. Yeah. I'm one of the most selfish people on earth. The idea, hey, you're going to trust me.
But
with,
you know what? Yeah. When you say that, though, when we announced that we were going to do a show, we had offers like crazy yeah,
sure.
right away.
Sure.
With them wow. actually saying, hey, we'll pay for everything.
Yeah, we're like,
oh, that'll kill the whole spirit of the whole show.
We turned a few blue chips down, and we turned, you'll notice there's kind of, we don't call
huge
them sponsors.
Companies.
We call them friends of being the elite.
Yes.
There are tons of people you'll see associated with, like when you see the skirts, the ring skirts right. for yeah. All In, you'll be like, what? What? Yeah. And they're just, we didn't take any money.
No.
They're helping us in different ways.
We took, like, for example, one of the big friends of being the elite is Cracker Barrel.
Yes,
Cracker Barrel.
That's insane. How did you get Cracker Barrel?
I honestly, you want
to
know how that happened?
Yes,
we took pictures in front of their restaurants and we tagged them. And
he was always in the rocking chair.
Yeah,
that
and
turned into a relationship.
They followed me on Twitter, and we you know a relationship grew out of it. Yeah. And I talked to the people who represent them regularly. Like Dana actually just told me today that they sent me another care package. Like we're just friends. So they offered a ton of stuff, but eventually
we settled with catering for the boys.
They're going to cater the whole event. Yeah.
Well, listen, if you guys want to get Lance Storm involved, he's the biggest Cracker Barrel
really?
Mark in the world.
I heard.
Don, does Lance have a Cracker Barrel menu map?
On his wall.
On his wall. In his car. That he would take and follow the map. I got a Cracker Barrel. I got a map right here.
It's
you know you can
the greatest.
It.
Is Lance doing StarCast?
I don't think so.
Lance should be doing StarCast.
Yeah, well, yeah,
hey, listen, if you offer a Cracker Barrel catering,
yeah,
he'll probably fly himself.
Oh, we'll have it. Free. They offered us other stuff, too. Like, they wanted to bring rocking chairs. They wanted to put the rocking chairs on the floor.
We looked at it. We scaled Sears Center originally with, I think we had 11 rocking chairs in the front row. And we looked at it, and it's the, and literally, if you were behind these rocking chairs, you would be like, what the please, yeah. They're rocking back. They're too tall.
What do you mean comfortable?
Like, so then we thought we'll move them to the wings, and then it just became, you know what? We're good with it.
We can't do the rocking chairs.
when we did the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, obviously there's so much money there, and some I don't know the story. Mm. Some prince paid $7 billion, whatever it was. The whole front row, these couches. This was the front row, and there was like 8 rows of couches in a giant stadium. On the floor holds 200 rows.
Sure.
This was 8 rows of couches like this. And just a bunch of sheep sitting in couches watching the matches. So you could have dropped a couple rocking chairs in there as well.
Yeah.
But listen, so here's what I love about this. And this is why I love wrestling. And you know, I always say, I love wrestling when you see something really stupid. Vince is being super corporate. Going for the big company sponsors,
sure.
Whatever. I would say Cracker Barrel might be one of the biggest restaurant chains in America.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be wrong saying that.
Yeah.
And you guys have them working with you, and WWE does not. Absolutely.
He can't have them.
And that's insane.
That's not even it. Like, obviously, we have the Hot Topic deal. We all have shirts there.
All of us do. And very lucrative as well.
Absolutely.
Which just is like to
change
know that,
the
that, that
yep.
it changed the game, to know that that option is out
yep.
there.
They're working with us, too. Their logo is going to be plastered everywhere. They're gonna have an exclusive event t-shirt. They're going to be there hopefully shooting off t-shirts with a t-shirt gun into the crowd. So they're going to be representing. They're gonna have a booth at the building. We got Fridays. Fridays is also a friend of
Fridays too.
We've been to their
the most VIP experience I've ever had.
Their HQ in Dallas
is when these two said, "Do you want to go to Fridays HQ?"
Sure.
Yeah. And we go to and
it was
nuts. This guy, the head chef at Fridays, used to be a White House chef.
Head chef at Fridays.
The head chef. So this
he's fed the president.
He's not even a chef in terms of the restaurants. He's the head corporate chef, meaning he's basically just overseeing menu options.
So he decides what the menu is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He personally brought us all the menu.
The whole
items.
HQ is shut down, mind you.
They shut the whole HQ down.
Just for us.
Just
crazy.
This I told them after. I go, I've done some pretty cool appearances, but I'm gonna be honest with you guys. That's the most famous I've ever felt in my life.
That was the coolest thing ever. We ate for like hours.
Christopher Daniels was there with us, and you could see he didn't want to go to the show that night.
Can I throw a random thing out? Do you remember when you and me made like 10 grand to shave with like
Gillette?
That's like
great. Jealous.
Sometimes WWE, you get like these random facts things in your package,
right?
And it's like, okay, show up in San Jose at 10 a.m. for the Gillette razor demonstration. I'm like, okay, and I show up and it's me and Cody, and they showed us the shave going up.
Yeah.
And you would do this a couple times, and then we'd do this a couple times, and then that was it. We got like 10 grand. 10 grand.
That's amazing.
That doesn't happen every day.
No, sure.
It doesn't happen every month or every year.
Be a superstar or something. Gillette. Man. Yeah, you just came early. I came early one day. There was like 4 of us picked for us.
Shaving up. I just remember you.
Well, I remember they picked me, and I was like, I think they picked the wrong guy because I had no facial hair.
Shoot.
I didn't have the mustache at that point. And I had no, like, I had a little chest hair, but that's so I was like, I thought like maybe you wanted somebody else, but I'm gonna take the money, guys.
So let me ask you guys a question. So when you finally decide to do this show and you guys, the three of you guys are involved, how did you decide on Chicago?
At first it wasn't even
building.
Chicago. Yeah.
I'm sure there was a lot of
options. We had a few options.
Ontario was the first one,
Ontario,
right?
For sure, because
Ontario,
of the
California.
Invasion.
California?
Yeah. We're building that we did the invasion.
Yeah, exactly. And then we looked at Cow Palace, actually.
On July 7th, actually.
That date got stolen.
Yeah. That date is taken.
I know. Yeah. In the building's taken that night.
Yeah. And then Chicago, right? It was probably those three. It was down to those three last
Chicago,
finalists.
San Francisco and Ontario, which is basically Orange County.
It's actually other options.
Those
too.
Were the finalists.
Oh, we looked.
Though,
yeah, we looked.
The last three.
Yeah, and it came down to we're in the airport, and Rocky Romero threw his
piece of shit.
What a just
would you call him
really
an office jobber?
He's an office jobber. Yeah,
so
he's a wrestling jobber, an office jobber, a rap jobber.
So Rocky, have you ever seen the Japan calendars? By the way, they make no sense. Like, whereas we have just the block, the date.
Yeah,
I have no clue. He throws down this color coded New Japan calendar.
Yeah,
and then we threw down our Ring of Honor calendar.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it just happened because that's a, I believe it's a Labor Day weekend.
It was the only
available. It's the worst
only
weekend available of the year to promote.
I think it was the only thing available.
It honestly. Was the only thing available.
It was that or July 7th.
Yes. And we thought July 7th was too soon.
Yeah, it was.
So
and we knew that they were going to run probably Long Beach. We thought it was Long Beach at the time. So yeah. We can't run like a week
we
later.
We can't run.
Like,
yeah.
So are you guys calling like the Sears Center and going, hello, my name is Cody. Don't have a last name because I'm allowed to say it.
Not.
And I want to do a show. How much is the rent? Like,
pretty
I
mean, much.
I don't, like, how do you do that?
Everybody did their own. They did some legwork. I did a lot of just email stuff.
Yeah, Brian and then helped us a lot.
Brian that, helped so. A lot. Brian, my his let's agent. Call him yeah. manager agent. Brian
Dana too. Brian Dana called like four buildings.
Well, yeah, Dana.
We already love Dana.
Yeah, Brian Widenstein is his name, and you might know him. He was involved with the WWE TNA scandal a few years back.
What's the
oh, he
the
gave
guy
away
was...
the price. The yeah, he ended up. He's ended up being an outstanding manager for me.
Wow,
outstanding. Okay. And the agency that my actual LA agency, he worked in that office. So it worked great. I could talk with wrestling with Brian, but then I could come to LA and he'd just be in the room right. for the other stuff. But he helped a lot. And then it can't go without praising Gary Jester.
Yeah.
Now here's let me just segue here. So Gary Jester is a name that I haven't heard for years, but in the 90s when I was in WCW, he was the show promoter.
Sure.
So he has stayed in the business.
Yeah.
And I'm not being a smart ass. So he stayed in the business.
He works with Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. Okay.
He finds the buildings for Ring of Honor, essentially.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Still good, to this good day. Guy. Always nice guy.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. The best. He's
because we like All In, it's very possible because we said, hey, we want to be All In.
Right.
We want to do this. But Ring of Honor also had a huge decision to make.
Right.
Whether we could or couldn't.
We're all under exclusive contracts.
Yeah, we're under contracts.
Because
we're breaking contract to do another.
We're breaching our contract.
And it's interesting they didn't want it to be a Ring of Honor show.
Right.
I think I like Greg and Joe, who are the top brass of Ring of Honor. They seem to really gel with this wealthy generation of wrestling that's happening. This
they've sounds, given us so much freedom.
Yeah, sounds kind of risky, but you guys, you got it. You know, do it, and they very supportive.
So they gave you their blessing.
And they
whatever
gave us our
you
blessing.
Guys need, we'll be there.
Now, what about New Japan? Did they get
same thing, pretty much.
Because they have their own show.
Yeah.
That's not sold out.
Yeah. Right.
And all the focus is on your guys' show.
Yeah, yes. They gave us the blessing and awesome. Said we'd like to help as far as. Talent.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Okada's on the
show. Okada's coming. Exactly. Tiger Hattori's going to fly out with them. They basically, Tiger said, listen, anybody you need, let us know.
He did not say it like that. There's, hey, man.
Yeah.
You need guy?
Yeah.
You happy here?
Speak me. Yeah. You happy here? He always uses that line
He's
on
been doing
Matt
a five-year rib
you
on
happy
us.
Here, man?
Yeah. He said that to me today. You happy? Everything okay? I'm like, why? He's like, no, great match. I'm like, okay. Well, you asked me like it's someone who's.
Dude, he was our ref today, and he must have asked me 50 times, finish. Same? Did you change? No, we didn't change it. It's the same thing.
We hit our finish, and he's counting. He goes, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it was so sweet.
Wow.
It was so
sweet.
And he says encouraging things during the match. Like, we'll hit a great spot where we're all down, and he'll just come up to my ear, and he'll be like, you guys are killing it.
Yeah.
Great match so far.
This is good.
He always always says something. I'll come back and be like, man, you such a good worker. But then right away he goes, your dad though. He much better worker.
He does that.
Yeah, every time.
Hey, he goes, and your brother better.
He goes, and literally every time. And it can be like a 10-second gap or right away. But you know then what, I'll hear like, but your dad.
When I came here, like I said, in the ancient days of the 90s, we were sitting there with Eddie. You know, and Eddie Guerrero, did you ever meet Eddie Cody? Were you in the company?
I met him, but I never got to
extended. So like, super complex guy, but like the best guy, great brother, obviously great worker, but kind of sometimes would get moody and depressed. And one time Tiger, Eddie, you know I call you, man? And Eddie was like in some kind of a bad mood. What? You're a Mexican flamingo. What are you talking about, man? Your body big. Leg skinny.
I'm sure he didn't like
and
that.
And he's like, hey, Tiger, fuck you, man. And then he goes up to him like, oh, he's super hunched over. You think your shit don't stink? Fuck you. And like, hey, calm down, man. So I almost got to see a Tiger, Hattori, Eddie Guerrero shoot.
Was Eddie Guerrero regularly trying to fight people?
No.
I had heard he tried to fight Angle one time.
Well, he wouldn't back down.
And that to me is like,
wow,
how that's big... Crazy. were the balls on somebody who's that's a fight you know you're going to lose.
Eddie and I got in a fight in a Denny's by the Minneapolis airport in front of Wade Keller, who reported it all for his students.
Wow.
Oh, and we were fighting, rolling on the ground underneath tables where people had to lift their legs and not spill their moons over my hammy. So Eddie would do that. But, you know, that was kind of his thing.
Did you ever get into a fight in front of my dad at all?
I had hardly any experiences with your dad.
Because when you took the punch, I'll never forget this, but when you took the punch from Big Show, the finish, the first time he did it.
Okay, I'll tell you a story.
He levels you with this punch, the knockout punch.
This is when he decided that they wanted him to use a knockout punch.
Yeah.
A punch was his finish.
Which I took a bazillion times after.
But I was the first.
Never like this one, though. And I remember... I remember my dad, he goes, Chris, man, he's a tough, tough son of a bitch. He's a tough, and he said it in a way that I was like,
okay.
Is he a shooter?
Let me tell you the story behind that, though. And this is how that world works. I came into WWE in 99. I had some successes and ups and downs, whatever. I don't think I really had ever really impressed Vince as a guy. Like, I think he thought it was just, this guy's he might be okay, whatever. I don't really care. So, Show and I were working, and this is when they gave Show he had gone to boxing. I was going to say boxing school.
Yeah.
Boxing camp, and it didn't work out, but whatever. But now he's a boxer, and his punch is the finish. Yep. And I was the first one. I said, Show's like my bro. Man. I love that guy so much, and I hate him, and we hate each other, but we love each other. But I said, dude, punch me as hard as you can. It's my forehead. You can't hurt me.
Yeah.
I used to say with Bob Holly, don't break my nose and don't knock my teeth out. Other than that, hit me as hard as you want. Hit me as hard as you can in the forehead. If you agree to punch me in the forehead, I will run into it as hard as I can. Agreed?
That's ballsy of you.
Well,
Shooter. How hard can it be? It's a forehead, whatever, right?
That kind of hurt
a little bit. Just punched Matt in the face. So I ran into it, man, and he hit me hard. It was a killer. Right?
He leveled you.
He leveled me to the point where I had a fist.
Oh my God. You asked a giant. A real functional giant
who has
actual boxing experience,
but also a heart of gold, and would die for you if he loves you.
Yeah, there's
afterwards, Vince said to me, he goes, "You're the toughest son of a bitch I've ever
had." It must have been an old time.
How did you do that?
Maybe.
And that, I think, probably, as we know, when Vince says A, everyone says A. If Vince says B, I think probably that permeated throughout. Maybe Dusty was
in the company
at the time and probably remembered, Jericho's. I bet you Dusty might not have even seen it, but Vince was so high on it
about
that
it.
The whole company was high on it.
I think it was one of those, had it been Bill Watts, Jerry Jarrett, Dusty Rhodes, Eddie Graham, I think it was one of those things that what you did in front of them, they all had the same mindset of, what a tough, whatever that is, like when guys would sandpaper, guys would do. Yeah. Cause I remember him saying that. And
that's interesting. You've never told me that.
Yeah. But after that, I was like, it surprised me because we always talked about every show we would watch. And that when he said that, I was like,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But once again, that's kind of how we talk about the WWE world. Whatever Vince says goes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say it, but somebody
we
in the
call
of WWE
him.
Told me one time, I'm surrounded by yes men. If I say the sky is blue, or sorry, if I say the sky is red, they're going, it's really red. I'm like, you, the sky's not red, it's blue. What are you talking about? But that's the world that they live in, right?
Sure.
Which is why this outside world of us kind of ruling the roost.
You know what's funny about the yes man thing? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, would you go back? And the answer has pretty much definitely become, I don't think so. And not because...
Could you?
Not because I don't like WWE, or I don't like WrestleMania, or I don't like money, or I don't like the big production. Because I am literally now incapable of taking direction.
Nah.
If you told me you're going to write something for me, no. If you told me you're going to produce something, no. If you give me a time and a finish... Cool.
I may not even hit that.
But even that.
You guys don't.
Even that, I'm literally.
You guys don't.
And I don't want to discourage. You've got Arn Anderson. You got Mike Rotunda. You got these guys out of respect for sure. But out of respect for myself, it's my song that I go out there to play.
You're making your own shot.
Listen, I love Rotunda. Rotunda's the brother of all brothers. I love that guy. And obviously Arn. But when you come to a certain point, it's like, listen, I
I'm open to collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like Jimmy Jacobs, like the whole 2016-17 Kevin Owens list, all that stuff we did, Festival Friendship, that was me and Jimmy Jacobs.
Right.
Because I found a guy, and previous to that was Brian Gewirtz, that I could collaborate with and was sure. on the same wavelength. But I still had to fight for everything because it got changed over and over yeah. and over and over again, which is fine. But if you're open to collaboration, it's cool. But it's hard to have to give up that final cut that yeah. Steven yes. Spielberg said.
Yeah.
But if you work in WWE, that's the price you pay.
You give it over.
Yeah, and there's no that's negotiation. Tough.
When Pops went there to do the polka dots, that's what Vince told me. He goes, you're not in charge of anything anymore. Just have fun.
That would be so hard for me and Nick because we're DIY. Like from the ground up, we've made every decision on our own, and we've built ourselves up to this like this empire now. Like. On
it is
home.
An empire.
Right.
And it really is.
So it would be like, dude, how can I hand over the keys to this car to someone at this point? Like, I'd feel so afraid.
It's so unfathomable to think of that. Like, if you're in the wrestling business, the end game is to go to WWE. Yeah, that's what we all want, isn't it?
But, you know, it's like it's the rules have changed now because I told Nick this the other day. It feels like now everybody there eventually wants to be where we're at currently. And we did it without having to go there because eventually you want to get to a point where you're at, right? Where you just call your own shots. You do whatever you want. You have fun. You
know, yeah.
Like that's what we do already. But we never had to go there. It's we're fortunate and we're lucky to be in the situation we are because it's never happened before. It's like ever.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. For you guys to promote this show that sells out in 30 minutes. When the greatest, let's be honest, the greatest wrestling promoter of all time, times a billion, said to me, it's a bad time here to promote. And then you sold it to me.
It's crazy.
He doesn't know about that?
Right. You should have called him.
Crazy.
Dude, I'm telling you guys are now on the radar and you become a threat, but in a good way. It just ups your value all across the board.
Yeah.
So you booked the Sears Center for All In, but where did All In the name come from? I want to know who came up with the title. But before we do, I know exactly how Diamond Dallas Page came up with DDPY and that title. He decided to call it DDPY because it's so much more than yoga. It's yoga for the 21st century. This ain't your mama's yoga, bro. And because everyone can benefit from doing DDPY, no matter your age or skill level, I benefit from it every day. It's helped me give some of the best performances of my life on Fozzy's summer tour. It's keeping me in shape and healthy for the matches I've been doing with New Japan. Will I return? You have to wait and see. It's going to keep me ready for action with the Alpha Club on the upcoming Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Dallas is going to be doing live DDPY workshops on the ship as well, so you'll be able to work out with Dallas if you're going to be on the cruise. And DDP is so sure that once you try DDPY, you'll love it like I do, that he's giving you the chance to try DDPY for free for 7 days. Free for 7 days. All you got to do is download the DDPY app, and you can get it for iOS or Android. And like I said, I got the DDPY app on my phone. In addition to all the DDP yoga workouts, the app tracks your weight, inches lost, even takes pictures so that you can see your flexibility, physiology, and core strength changing from month to month to month to month. You can try all of that with your free 7-day trial. And the DDPY app has a Bluetooth heart monitor to track the calories you burn. There's over 100 workouts, including live workouts, every week. From the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. Again, all part of the free 7-day trial. The app has nutrition tips and recipes to help you eat healthier as well. And Dallas will even give you a little personal motivation on the days you need it most. He's going to pop right up in your app and tell you, get going, bro. He's going to give you that extra little bump that you need. So download the DDP Yoga app now. Start your free 7-day trial. And then after you get hooked on DDP Yoga, get 20% off an annual membership at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life. Own your life. Get your free 7-day trial and 20% off an annual membership at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get in the best physical and mental shape of your life and go do it now. So when you book the Sears Center, and I don't know what rent is for the Sears Center. I'm sure it's pretty expensive.
Yep.
You lay your money down. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't
know. We're all in. All the poker chips.
Where did All In come from?
Youngbucksmerch.com was where the
go to ProWrestlingTees.com/YoungBucks.
Yeah. All In, the title came from, we were throwing around names, and my sister was like, you should call it All In. And I feel like,
is she the one that used to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader?
No, she's the other one. Oh. And if she's ever referred to as the other one, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader one is Kristen, and Kristen always had like a little crush on you because we used to sit by the Hall of Fame for many years. Was very fun because I would sit with my dad, I would sit with my dad, and we would sit by Chris.
There must be a why would
I have no clue?
They always put us.
But they had a great moment together where everyone was getting a standing ovation. The rhythm of the show was screwed up.
Standing ovation.
Everybody was getting a standing ovation. So the presenters. Like,
you know, here's Johnny the janitor cleaning the toilet.
So, yeah, so literally presenters and the inductees. So it was like, and oh, they like, got a bad rhythm here. Everyone's standing up, and Stephanie is standing up in the front row every time. So everyone's standing up too, and they are sitting there. And we know Ted DiBiase,
Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase
is getting inducted, Million Dollar Man.
And yeah. Jericho is
nothing
like,
but respect.
I'm not standing up for Brett or Ted DiBiase Jr. I'm not. My dad goes, no, and, I'm not doing it either. And we're not standing up.
And this is like, and this is like the like. And then like, I don't really know Dusty. Dusty always loved because I had one quote for him that I said on some show that he heard, and I said, you know, Vince in the 80s was, you know, he did not like anybody that was not his creation. So he hears about this charismatic guy called Dusty Rhodes. Oh, really? Oh, he's really charismatic, is he? Okay, how charismatic could he be? Let's put him in yellow polka dots right. and stick him with an African-American heavy set girl called Sapphire and see what happens.
Yeah.
And the fucker gets over bigger than anybody. And doesn't, yeah, you said, baby. But let's put him in black polka dots. Still get over. So we're sitting at the Hall of Fame.
And, they both stood up, bro.
And Brent DiBiase.
Hi, Brent.
Brent or Brett?
Brent.
Brent. Whatever. And I said, listen, I am not giving Brent DiBiase a standing ovation. The guy's like 12 years old. I don't give a shit about Brent DiBiase. I'll clap till the cows come home about Ted. And Brent comes out, DiBiase, and Teddy Jr., who a couple months before I hit his shoes in Chile when he was super drunk.
Yeah.
Actually threw him in the garbage, and he had no shoes. For us.
Cut his head with a plate, too, that
he
night.
Did, yeah. That was not me, but I did steal his shoes. And I'm like, I'm not giving any of these guys a standing ovation. They come up, and lo and behold, standing ovation. Linda McMahon standing. Oh, Stephanie man. Standing. Freaking Bruno Sammartino. Like, I can't not.
You were the last two.
My
though.
Last bastion was Dusty.
Yeah.
And then finally, Dusty's like, and he didn't say this, but I'm like, too late, baby. We got to do it. He stands up, and I'm like, the best / worst moment of career. Like, okay, I have to follow what Dusty Rhodes is doing, but even Dusty Rhodes is standing for these assholes. And we're like, Randy.
The best is you not clapping. You made the decision to stand up.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him. He's just standing.
If you would have seen my face, it would be like your face in the Jimmy Jacobs picture. I'm not happy about this. But Dusty's standing. Listen, yeah. you gotta stand up for the brother. Dusty's standing.
The rhythm was off.
Yeah. I got to do what he does.
The rhythm was off for the Hall of Fame. But anyways, yeah, we used to sit by you and my sister Teal. So my oldest sister is Kristen. She's from my dad's first marriage with Dustin. So Dustin, Kristen come from the first marriage.
And then
me and Teal come from
T-E-I-L. Oh, Teal.
My parents were, I was going to be Telly because I was supposed to be a girl.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, pink blanket, the whole deal.
My mom wanted to call me Chrissy.
Well,
as a boy, my dad said absolutely not.
No way.
It was the 70s, man.
No way.
Lots of
I remember the moment that you said, hey, my sister thinks she should be called All In. It was literally like, we were like,
your sister, okay.
We were like, yeah, that's the name of the show.
That's a great name.
Like, it was decided in 27.
Here's the thing about wrestling. Yeah. You have to have the tagline, All In, done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we knew right away, we're like, it's perfect. When everyone announces they're on the show, they're going
to
say, I'm All In. Like, it was like, we knew within seconds.
It's so good. Yeah. And then before the tickets went on sale, you would put like, okay, you guys are All In, you're All In. Yeah. Marty's All In.
We would make announcements on our show and on Twitter. It was very strategic.
We had a good social rollout for sure.
But you had like a great graphic designer where everybody's kind of in like whatever it was, kind of washed out black and white.
Yeah.
I think it's Tessa. Is Tessa?
Yeah, Tessa. Tessa's All In. Tessa's All In.
Whatever. Whoever was All In. This person was All In. This person, but it was very cohesive.
Yes.
Yeah. And then let's go to the day that tickets go on sale, the Sunday, which Gary just.
Which we were, Carrie said that
Carrie
we shouldn't do.
Said don't do it.
Yeah.
On the time of the month where the greatest promoter of all time said you're crazy to do
hard
it.
To run.
We ran a disastrous press conference that morning that where everything went wrong.
God.
So tell us about it. What happened?
It was just one of those situations.
Microphones weren't
working. Mics weren't working.
Cameras weren't.
Yeah, the cameras weren't getting the right shots. And just
I sent out a little script the night before for the press conference, and it was just like not even a script. Here's the outline.
Yes.
Here's what I'd like, you know, I'll say my piece. We've got Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. He's going to say his piece. We'll fill in the NWA thing.
Also, he's also the president of NWA.
Yeah. Right. And then we'll Mad Nick will take him home happy and we'll announce Rey Mysterio as well. And then it should run in. It should be like 20 minutes away from when they actually go on sale. I don't, but man,
It looked so good when we walked in. The backdrop, they had all the chairs. We had actual fans in, so it wasn't
press there.
We had actual press, yeah. But we had more fans than actual press.
I think we're being hard on ourselves though, because honestly, like,
bro,
I think it was
turned into a disaster.
It was fun in like a DIY way.
That's how it has to be though. Man. Like I said, if it like this is what I mentioned after, because they're being hard on the whole thing. I'm like, listen, it couldn't be perfect because this is three dudes trying to do this thing for the first
never
time,
promoted
right? Anything. And I think there's a charm.
That's legit, right. Giant arena, man.
So there's a certain charm to it being being mess ups and
for sure.
And I think it's funny. People enjoyed it.
For sure, there's charm. But my fear is I don't want them to just keep saying like, "Yeah, man, these guys."
Is this what the show's gonna
and
be like?
Yeah. One thing that we brought up is we hadn't started yet. And everyone's complaining about the camera shot, about the camera shot. And I'm like, it'll go away once we start. And Marty's been on the show before, right?
Most anxious person I've ever met.
Marty Skrull has the worst anxiety in the existence of anxiety.
Every day there's a new like problem.
I love how insane every single one of us are. Yeah.
But to Marty, it's end all. When he saw that,
it's the end of the world.
We're screwed, mate.
We're screwed, mate.
No, I'm about to go out and start the press conference. We're screwed, mate. We got to start over.
I can't bring me wings now.
And it ended up being so much fun. But
you know what, though? Besides all the failures that we had that day, you could feel the buzz.
There was a ton of buzz.
Once again,
Nick, the quote-unquote failures is like a screwed-up high spot in the ring.
Yes, it was nothing.
We can't stop thinking about it. And if you do it properly, no one knows.
Right.
Do you know what? I should have known that the show was going to sell out. The moment we pulled up to 1 hour tease, this is where we held the press conference. Yeah. So the moment we
pulled up,
the individual who was playing Bernard the Business Bear... I said to Bernard, you should pop your head out the sunroof and see if you get a nice little reaction.
Yes. Blow away reaction.
So he pops his head out. Massive. Insane. I can hear it almost felt like the windows are rumbling. And I thought,
so is there a lineup of people that
people couldn't even get into the thing
to buy tickets for the show?
So just to come into this free press conference.
We only allowed,
that's where it was. Okay,
we only allowed 50
slept
people
overnight.
Yeah,
Ryan said there's people there at 3 a.m. It was raining.
Ryan at 1 hour tease ordered pizza for a group that was waiting for. Yeah, he ordered pizza.
Ryan is an alumni of Talk is Jericho.
He's a man.
I had him on my show.
He's part of our team, man. Honestly,
I know.
What a good guy.
We felt the buzz though. We felt it all.
So so you know what's going on Sunday. You have your ipso facto press conference that you think was a bomb, quote unquote.
Right.
So tickets go on sale. What?
Literally at that point, we were getting into our Ubers.
We went over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what time? 10 a.m.
Man, what was it?
They went on at 3 Eastern.
Yes.
3
p.m.
Eastern.
And we got in our cars at like 2:52.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was like we were 8 minutes in. I'm like, they're about to go up. We're going to the
Odeon
in Chicago.
The Odeon for Ring of Honor show
to film.
And we got caught in a little bit of traffic.
Well, the best. Is I got in a car with a complete stranger who was the StarCast representative. I believe his name is Dave. Absolutely great guy, but I never met him
before.
Shout out
to believe his name is
Dave.
This
is an intimate thing. Yeah. We're going to
you, Paige.
Me, Nick,
and
Paige,
Flip.
And Flip.
And Dana and I are in a separate car.
Yeah, you guys were in a separate
car. With a stranger.
One.
Oh, there's Dana again.
Yeah. Hangman has just thrown Flip through a table at this press conference, and they're sitting there.
And then did a standing shooting star press for no reason.
For no reason.
As 6'5" Texan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got and so much heat.
Nick pulls out his phone and he goes, "This is a real moment right here."
Yep.
And he starts
videoing
filming us. And we tried to.
Like an O tour.
We tried to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
So we go on everybody.
Minute, the first minute I tried to log in. Yeah.
Oh, so you go to like ticketfly.com or whatever.
The website
It was Sears Center. They were selling it through the website.
Yeah, we used we made our own URL and we just backdoored it to the Sears Center site.
The first minute I tried logging in, website already crashed.
Shut down.
I was like, oh my God.
Virtual waiting room.
And I'm going on both. I'm going on Twitter just to check if people are getting them.
Yeah.
And within, someone said, oh my God, the floors are gone in 30 seconds.
That's insane.
So I said, oh crap. So I'm kind of monitoring that and I'm telling them in the group chat, guys, these tickets are going quick.
And we were going to get updates from the box office every 30 minutes, but
we got one at 10 minutes.
We got pretty anxious and we're like, hey, call them anyway after 10 minutes.
Yeah, I got one at 10 minutes and said, well, you guys, it looked like Gary called me. He goes, it looks like you've moved 3,000 in 10 minutes. And I thought, oh, good. That's probably everyone knew they get their tickets right away.
I knew right away. Oh, okay.
So
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So you're gonna do like 300 the next 4 hours.
So we're trying to load our phones. My wife finally gets in.
Dana.
And about a 22-minute mark, and she's like, "Okay, I'm gonna try for best available." So she gets in, she does best available, and it came up at $28. And we're like, "No way. That's the nosebleeds." And we're like, "Wait a minute, that's best available." I said, "Punch in one."
Just try it.
Yeah. And she punched in one and she couldn't get in, couldn't get in. About at 29 minutes, it says none available. Wow. I said, we're sold out. And we're still on the drive now. So I text these guys. I said, guys, we're sold out. And Cody's like, no, we're not.
Denied it.
No, we're not.
Possible.
Denied yeah. I denied it until 6 p.m.
I said, no, no. I said, you don't understand. I just tried. I got through best available. I punched in one ticket and it said none available. We're done. We're sold out. And then I started loading my Twitter and everyone's like, yep, you're sold out.
And
you're
then
sold
Carrie
out, sold
Silken
out.
Texted me and he goes.
Who's trying to get his hands on tickets because he's a broker.
He owns a ticket business. Yeah. He goes, I've never seen this ever before for a wrestling event. What the hell is going on?
So this is like the Beatles style.
Here's my favorite thing. So the dudes that are like, you know, you guys are in the business, yeah. you know, like, but not a family business.
Right.
So like 10 years, whatever. Cody Rhodes. Sorry, can't say that name. Cody, whose father is Dusty Rhodes,
yep.
Has been in the business for 40 years. It's like, there's no way this is real. Because when you grow up in the business, yep. you never believe anything.
Yeah.
It's sold out. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, there must be like, it's bullshit because
everything's
only five tickets are sold out. And I'm going to get the bad news
yeah.
in 5 minutes that says, oh, there's still 9,000 tickets available. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
We never got a genuine moment between the three of us where we all really knew. Matt knew right away. I like, know. He was yelling, we sold out.
I was
out.
Screaming. He's we got screaming. To the building and we parked. I said, yeah. we sold out 30 minutes. I'm just yelling. Everyone's just looking yeah. at me.
Nick is high-fiving people. And I knew something was going on because the Ring of Honor crew was all staring at us.
They all knew something.
And everyone yeah. kept saying, congratulations, guys. Yeah. And, but I
you
waited.
Don't believe for real.
I waited until I Gary came up to me. But even I didn't even believe Gary.
Yeah.
He goes, it's official. We can you call it shocked. A sellout. And this is 29 minutes after it went on sale. And it wasn't
what
until
a moment, man.
Like
that's amazing.
You guys don't know this. I went at the signing, at the autograph signing, that night. There's a line of people, and like one person came up, hey, I'm all in. And they got their ticket, and I was like, oh, that's great. And
right.
another person came up, I'm all in. We didn't get what we wanted, but we got our tickets. I was like, damn. I left the signing, and I went, and I broke down in tears wow. in the room behind.
You left for a while.
I left for
thought you did
yeah,
something.
Because
it was so yeah, much.
I couldn't,
it was very emotional.
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And I denied it, and I was like, nah.
Is that the moment you finally accepted it?
Yeah. I'm sure you guys have thought of this, but yeah. it's a famous story. 1978, Kiss played in Anaheim Stadium. And same story, oh, it's Kiss, whatever. And they sold out like in 20 minutes, 50,000 people. And they gave everybody a button that said, Kiss, Anaheim Stadium, I was there.
Yeah.
You guys need that's to do cool. that says, I'm all in.
That's
or
cool.
I was all in.
That's
great.
Know, we got it.
That people need to know that they were part of something yeah,
sure.
in history.
That's cool.
Because like I said, once again, the greatest promo of all time said that it was not an easy time to sell
sure.
out. And you sold it so fast.
And you know what's so great about the whole thing is like we only announce some of the talent.
Just names.
Not even a match.
Just names.
Just yeah. so like that's proof that they didn't like what we offered them, what we were selling them, it was more than a professional wrestling show.
Right.
It like you said, it was a movement. Mm-hmm. It was something special. It was a feeling.
We announced
and they wanted
Ray
to be a part of it.
Like 20 minutes before,
right before.
We sold tickets. So
people didn't even
that.
Know Ray was on the show yeah. unless they yeah. watched the
they
press conference.
They already knew they were buying tickets.
Listen, right. Ray is one of my greatest friends, one of my greatest rivals. I don't think it mattered. I think you guys made it all in.
Yeah.
It was all in. It could be, you know, it could be you and you know, five popcorn sellers from sure. freaking Sheboygan. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You guys made it the place to be. Like even with my crews, like for me, I made it the place to be for 75%. And then I got hit a wall. Now I need matches. I got to start thinking. You guys didn't have to worry about that.
I know. And that's absurd.
Did you even have any matches in mind?
Yeah.
We have a couple cards like together.
Changed.
But the problem, and it's not a problem because we're friends, but one of the issues is it has to be three thumbs up. Really hard
all
to get
all three of you guys.
Yeah,
are 33 1/3%
yeah.
all decisions.
Really hard to get three. It's not like unanimous. It's got to be full blown three thumbs
and it's
up.
It's just you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That's
yes.
cool.
Yeah. We made every decision.
It's been tough. We literally text 24/7.
We literally booked yeah. Don Kells today on the
yeah.
fly.
Yeah.
He's just in here.
Matt
told me.
Yeah.
He told me.
Yeah.
And that's a smart call.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So you guys didn't have to worry about any matches because you sold out.
We announced. I guess technically one match, but it wasn't even, it was already.
We didn't know what the match was going to be though.
It was,
right?
We announced that we'd have an NWA title
right,
match.
Right,
that's
right.
why we brought Billy.
Which by the way, I think is great with you because
yeah.
that's obviously your family's legacy.
Right.
And like not being a jerk, but NWA title to me wouldn't really mean as much.
Sure.
I didn't have a dad that was one of the, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And for you though,
exactly.
that's
yeah.
big. And people know that.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah.
Yep.
So that I thought was a great idea, and maybe it's Nick Aldis or maybe it's whoever, but that's kind of a hook, but you didn't even need it.
No.
It was already done. Like, if I could, it was already, what was going to happen was going to happen.
Mm. Is that why you booked that match, though? Because the NWA title?
Oh, 100%. And actually,
whether it's NWA in 97 or NWA in 2018, whatever.
What they've done, what Billy, David Lagana, Nick, what they've done with a YouTube format, not unlike being the Elite, YouTube format, they've really done something special. And it wasn't a hard sell.
Right.
But it was one of the first things that I said, hey, to Mad Nick, I want to do this. And they have their focuses. They have being the Elite. They have things, their focuses when their matchups and where they're going. And I was really scared that they'd be like, I don't know. But they seem to, I mean, we're doing it. So they, but
people would understand that.
Yeah. And to me, it just, they made what Billy and Dave and Nick, what they did made something special. And I don't know. I wanted to hook onto it. I wanted to latch onto it. There's also a good spirit about what they're doing. It's not unlike what we're doing.
Sure,
so why don't
similar.
We? Why don't we?
But see, this
pool.
Is what I love. Once again, like, listen, we know, like we mentioned earlier, WWE. That's the juggernaut. You're not going to change it, nor do we want to. Listen, there's billions of dollars there, but there's also a lot of money other places. And we were talking about, like, with you guys and All In, with no cards sold out. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about the cruise of doing maybe some Ring of Honor versus Impact stuff. And I talked to the Young Bucks yesterday about who would you want to wrestle at Impact. Oh, we had this guy's, and there's these people. And everybody's excited / All In because it's great for wrestling. Yes. This is such a, like, we're all wrestling fans, man. We all grew up watching wrestling and loving wrestling.
Yep.
And listen, WWE, much respect, the greatest ever. It's not going to die. But we have a little bit of a different world.
Sure.
I was talking to Rey Mysterio tonight.
Sure.
You know, there's certain few of us that now are in control, quote unquote, of the whole world that's not there.
Yep. Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Well, perception used to be reality in wrestling is how I've heard it 100 times. To me, now reality is reality. I'll give you a really good example is like, whoever the WWE champion is, and I at this moment I don't know, but whoever
Lesnar,
it is,
Lesnar, of course.
Okay, it's Brock.
Still that.
If you tell me Brock Lesnar is the greatest wrestler in the world, I'd say no. Kenny Omega is the greatest wrestler, and not because I like Kenny Omega, not because I dislike Brock Lesnar, not because I'm able to watch Kenny easily. It's not a thing like, gosh, New Japan's a pain in the ass to watch. No, New Japan World's right there.
Right.
It's accessible. So every wrestler you're talking about, I don't have to wait for them.
You have a choice.
You have the choice. And the accessibility and the variety, that's why I like reality is reality. So they're the best example of reality is reality is
Bucks,
is the Bucks. So much hype, so much talk, but every match is just absurd. Like just so much care and effort put into what they're doing and the song they're playing is how I think of it. But man, like,
what a sweetheart.
Reality. Sweet of them. Oh, bro, I said watch all of them, and it's almost begrudging when they come back. Great match, guys. It's almost begrudging.
It's almost like
you're very good about
it's
it.
Almost though. Patronizing, right?
No, I feel like
I mean it. But
he does mean it because a lot of we were talking about
watches,
this earlier.
He watches
a lot of the wrestlers, and you called it wrestler brain. It's like they're so competitive that they can't put other boys over.
That's
and like,
a big problem.
It is
WWE.
The worst.
And you know, it's like
bad thing.
Nick and
Matt
I
we
give it up, man.
Everyone.
If someone tears it up, watching, and if that guy has heat in the locker room, we still go up to him and go, dude, killer match.
But here's the thing, though, dude. Like, listen, I'm sure you guys, like, I watch every match.
Mm.
Like, it's like everyone always gives a critical image to John Cena. John Cena watches every match because he makes a point of it. I watch every freaking match on every show, and I stay till the end. I don't, you know, like tonight, I wasn't in the main event. That bugs me. I want to be in the main event.
I love
that. Every night. And when I'm not, it pisses me off.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch the main event. And listen, Omega and Okada was a zillion times in the stratosphere. Mm. But I also watched your guys' match, and I watched your match, and I watched this guy's match and that guy's match. There was people I don't even know. Jado was sitting here in my private dressing room, sitting there chewing tobacco. And I was like, you might have to leave in a couple minutes because I have to start getting into my mind. But who's that guy? But that's what it's all about, man. Really watching and paying attention. Like I said, you pin Liger. That's great. You guys won your titles. You hurt your leg. Yeah. And your finish was not the Meltzer driver.
Right.
Which a lot of guys was like, okay, guy A is selling his leg. My leg hurts so much. But I'm still going to do my spring forward. Mm-hmm. And it was another finish that I hadn't seen before. I'm sure you guys have done a million times.
That's an old school one.
The more you watch. watch of these guys, the more you'll figure out the modern criticism that they get is backwards as can be, because these two are literally the most old school wrestlers.
But I also think, though, Cody, yeah, and you guys might rebuke me on this, that you guys do that just to prove the stupid idiots wrong. The Bucks got no psychology. I've never seen a match where you didn't. Sure. And I think that you go out of your way to have psychology.
Yeah, I don't,
just to show there's a match. Well, you guys did, I can't remember the name, but your back was hurt.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
And you couldn't do anything because your back was hurt. Right.
His back was hurt for like 3 years.
Matt Jackson hurt it.
He must be really injured.
Headline, Matt Jackson hurts back.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he would sell or put together a match like this unless his back was really hurt.
Yep. Yeah. There's reports everywhere that Matt actually had a hurt back. And no, you can never do that.
Exactly.
At work, right? He's been selling it for 8 months.
But you know, like, I don't know if it was necessarily to prove the naysayers wrong, but like, as artists, Nick and I just decided one day, hey, let's try a different thing. Like, yeah, we love to just take risk and gamble, and sometimes we'll even call a match that's completely different than a typical Young Bucks match, and we'll go, man, this could bomb bad. But you know what? Let's go for it. Because as long as you commit and you try your hardest and you don't give up and you don't still go believe half-ass on it, yep, if you believe in yourself, it'll probably work out.
That's why I say the old school thing, their commitment to whatever it is they're doing is full commitment.
Yep.
So whatever decision we make, it's the most committed you could possibly
get. That's what's like. So this is just as we wind down here. I know we've been going for a long time, but I came in Fukuoka, Dontaku, and I was wearing a Bushi mask, right, to attack Naito. And Bushi wears black lipstick, and he's obviously Japanese. So I had to go sit in the crowd, right? So I put the black lipstick on. And then I'm like, well, what if everyone's staring at me? Like, I'm so nervous that I'll be sitting there. Everyone's going, like, it's like Evasion of the Body Snatchers. Jericho!
Yeah.
So I actually, like, this is not being any type of whatever. I put some eye makeup on to have kind of, like, smaller eyes. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to look more like if I'm a fan who loves Bushi, I put black lipstick on. Whatever. So we did the thing. I took the mask off and I have black lipstick. And I just, like, that really fits what I'm feeling right now. Like, I like this vibe. So today, I put black lipstick on, put some, like, lines of, like, it's nothing really, like, kind of mime type shit. Yep. But that, to me, was like, I don't want sparkly jacket Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or sparkly tight Jericho. Like, yeah, it was long, black.
And that's what you're the best at. And you committed to it. No one has ever been able to completely reinvent themselves, like, year after year after year. You know what I mean?
But you guys you feel it. Mm. Like all they want, like they wanted me to do the lighted jacket intro, but that's not this guy. This guy is
a different guy.
When I saw that makeup on the Bushi thing, I'm like, I like that, like Clockwork Orange type shit.
Sure.
And the video package they played for you tonight, had you come out with the sparkly jacket, it wouldn't have fit.
It didn't fit.
It would have been a huge disconnect versus this individual we've seen so far, screaming at cameramen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, this individual is a more warped individual, and that's what.
And it's funny because I showed a picture of there's a movie called Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, and they wear kind of bowler hats. And I showed it to Gato, like, this is what I'm thinking about. And I took a picture with the black. He goes, Do you want hat? What? You want hat? Like, you have, I have hat. Well, bring your hat. So now he brought his little bowler hat and I put it on. I'm like, I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's kind of weird and cool. I'm going to wear it. So I wore the bowler hat.
Yep.
And then the guys, like, as I was walking to the camera and they're trying to film my face, I'm like pushing them away.
Oh, yeah.
But like, all that stuff is like, that's what we
commit to it,
exciting,
man.
Right?
Yeah. You know what? And that says a lot about you as a performer, because you could just be like, you know what? No, I'm just going to cash in on what everybody knows me as. Yeah. I'm going to come out with a light up jacket. You know what I mean? But no, I'm going to basically start from the ground up again and get this new thing over.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what I love about the whole, like we talked about how great of a world pro wrestling is now. Listen, the greatest company of all time, WWE, with the greatest promoter, awesome. But now we have this own little world that we're in, and it's very lucrative, and it's very
exciting. People are hungry for it, man. Like, there's a thirst for it.
10,000 tickets in 30 minutes.
And, I mean, in our YouTube show every week, it's 150,000 views. Like, people watch this stuff. Like, they want something different. And when, we're giving it to them.
So last question, and I don't even know if you guys even know what the card is. Do you have certain ideas of what you want to do, or do you have
a card? We got the main event, I believe.
We got a couple mock cards, main events.
A couple, though. Do you know which? You
know, I mean, when I say there's only like a few tweaks.
Okay.
You know, but everything we've talked about, we've written it down so that
would
we
can go back.
Would
you say we're like 75%?
Because a lot of this is on the fly. Like one day we were just in the little hotel gym at the Marriott, and we did this whole huge segment. And then the next day I literally went, oh, what? I didn't remember any of the names we went. I'm trying to write it down. I'm like, wait, who comes out here? Yeah. So now we write everything down.
We have a few ideas, and then we're going to help again with our show to promote some of the matches. There's like, what, two or three that we're going to build up on our show. So those are for sure like booked.
So now that you, and this is the typical thing, you guys sold out so fast. Mm. Are you thinking about doing another?
Oh, come on, of course.
I just got a text. I just got a text about it, actually.
And now, are you going to do one a year? Are you going to get, like, okay, we got Detroit.
We don't even know
if
we're going to do a sequel yet.
We're going to see how it goes.
Yeah, but we've talked about it.
I think it's been safe, and it's been fun to talk about it because, okay, we sold out. So,
God.
It's a guarantee.
With nothing.
We sold out, so it's a safe thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. But we've also
we haven't done the actual show.
We still have to have a really good show.
And here's the thing. Like we got offered a bunch of, not variety, but stage style shows after All In, where we were talking about All In. And we turned them down because the idea of us like talking about, oh, we did this and we did this.
We really killed it. Yeah.
Nothing is real until we do it and it happens.
Yeah.
So we can't plan anything beyond where we're at with like it. This could be an absolute, it's not, but this could be an absolute spot.
Like the press conference.
This could be the press conference, which was charming. This could
very
be charming.
The Cody versus Funaki main event did not work out the way it was.
Here's what we learned from All In One, guys.
Of course, like we're already considering it and thinking about it, and like we're ambitious. Like I sent
them my goals the other day. I said I want to get a movie and do a trilogy. Yeah, yep. Do a movie.
This is all the New Japan guys walking.
They're just waiting out to like, please get out
of here. A guy that I think is from like Denmark or something, but he speaks English.
Yeah. He's an interpreter.
He's like, please finish. My uncle, ass.
Yeah, but I told them, I sent them my goals
the
other day.
By the way, we're still in Osaka Joe Hall.
Yes, we are.
And everyone's
I'm still
gone.
In my gear. I know. Yeah. While we were doing this episode too, by the way, I put up the Golden Elite
show
shirt.
Ended 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, whatever. So go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I absolutely would hope we do one more, but it depends on, it doesn't work. I will say All In doesn't work, and I don't mean to be selfish, but it doesn't work without the three of us doing
you guys are all in.
Yeah, everybody has
and to. And right now, everything's crazy because our contracts are up soon, so we really don't know. We can't say we're going to do another one because we don't even know if we're going to be available.
Matt's
like, really tricky.
Matt's back is real
am
bad.
Am I back? And then also,
Nick's
I told Cody
hurt himself. Nick,
something.
Liger. I mean,
I feel like if we do another one, it's got to be in the same ambitious.
Got to be
spirit,
ambitious.
Right? Yes. So, like, could you just do another one and say, oh, I want 10,000 yen? Or do you do, well, I want 20,000 or I want 15,000? I personally would like to do Madison Square Garden. You know what I mean? I think that would be cool. Or I would like to do something in Los Angeles, like a big building there. There, you know what I mean?
I would love to see what happens if you guys do Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Because the old man is not gonna stand by. He'll be, dude, this is what I love. And you know what else? He loves it too.
Yeah,
he loves it. This is what the business is all about.
Yep.
All In Madison Square Garden.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So that's great. Definitely an option. Los Angeles is another. It's close. It's close to my heart.
Listen,
because
LA,
I live there.
Yeah. I told New Japan. I told them. I called.
Yeah.
Tiger, who didn't understand what I was saying, but like, you guys are doing the Long Beach like Civic Center. That go to the Staples Center.
Yes.
Go to the Forum.
That's what we're
eyeing
down.
That's where you need to go.
Yeah. Staples has a contract with WWE. Okay, I called them. I called them the other day. It was really disappointing.
We may have had a meeting with the Forum
already.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Cody, how are you, Pally Wally? Listen.
Yeah, the forum is a really great
we're
building.
Eyeing down the Forum.
And it's also owned by the same company that owns the Garden.
Yeah, I know. We know
Dude,
that.
I'm in.
We know that.
I'm all in. I could be a valuable
that forum
asset
is
to this.
A great building.
Listen, I love the same shit you guys do. Let's just cause some shit and change the world. We don't care. Last question. This is more of a fanboy thing. What is your favorite match you've ever seen in your life?
Oh man. Hogan and Rock.
Well, Nick jumped in.
Mania 18.
Is that all three of us down the line, though? We've all had this conversation.
You're going to say it, too?
I just watched it recently.
Wow,
and it still lives up. So
yeah, that's my
I have
answer.
To that.
I always said if you watch that match with the sound turned down, you would think it's brutal.
Right. The audience
Hogan with the nail scratches on the back. Yeah. You turn it on.
Yep.
It's the great. And let me tell you something else. Guess who?
I know.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I tough spot. Fought. Listen, this is the first time I ever fought to not be in the main event.
Wow, really?
Don't put us on last, please.
Wow. You guys still had a great match though, but. What do you do after that?
Yep. It couldn't compete. Listen, you got Tyson versus Ali. You got the Stones versus the Beatles. You got everything you ever wanted. You got Hogan and Rock. And it's like, crazy. We're going on. And you got like some random girls match and then us.
Yeah.
You couldn't compete.
Crazy.
You
couldn't compete. Impossible.
As a fan, it's one of my favorite manias. Yeah. I loved you guys' match.
Well, thank you, man. I never watched it back.
I loved you guys' match.
I couldn't watch it.
But
didn't like it.
To me, my favorite match of all time. So I have this really specific when people are like, well, when they start picking apart Hogan Rock or when they just start picking apart Hogan, they're like, well, in ring I'm talking about. I always want to say what Hogan did was in the ring.
Right.
Yes. Like there's wrestling in the NCAAs, but then there's pro wrestling and that includes it all.
That's pro
wrestling.
And
what Hogan hulking up, that's in the ring. So if you ask me who's the greatest in ring, I'm going to tell you Hogan. If you ask me who's the greatest, and it's not because I'm just, it's just that moment. I've never felt anything like that.
Some inside information from me. Probably going to get yelled at on the Twitter. Who's the greatest wrestler of all time? A lot of people would say Ric Flair.
Mm.
For me, Hogan kills Flair. Because Hogan is the best. He's the man. Because Hogan is a babyface. And when I was working with Flair, he was a babyface. And Flair, as a babyface, 2 minutes in, would kick you in the balls and go check the time and whatever. Hogan knew his audience.
Right.
He knew how to play babyface. He was so good and so easy. Mm-hmm. And for 6 months in 2002, I got to ride on the Hogan private jet.
So cool.
Because it was me and him. And he would show up and go, what do you want to do? What do you want to do, broski? Or whatever he said. Put down his six-pack of beer. And he would... He would ask me what I wanted to do, and I would tell him the whole match. Hogan was so – unless I love Rick. We all love Rick. But to me, Chris Jericho, whatever I am or not am, Hogan is the guy.
Yep.
He's the guy.
He's my all-time favorite too.
Dude. Yeah. The guy, and you guys used to Comic-Con with him.
Yeah, we did. It was a
my favorite match of all time was Shawn versus Undertaker 1.
The first one?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Best ever. Because you had two guys with 20 years of experience. Everyone knew their storylines.
Yep.
And it will never happen again. You'll never get it again.
That was an interesting night for us because we were with Randy, and Randy and Hunter were in the main event in Houston.
Stinker.
And Randy was not he was not happy with anything that day. And
or that year.
And I thought, like, hey man, you're in the main event, like, and I'm not saying any of this, but that slowly the dynamic with Randy and I began to change. Where I don't know how I became older and more, but anyways, I loved it because he was always really honest about how he felt. He wasn't a mark for anything. When he wins the Rumble,
good call.
And they're not, the pyro's not going off, and they're telling him to point at the star, and he's going, "I've been pointing at the star for 10 minutes," and I thought to myself, man, I wish you'd be more happy. But the truth is, I love that you're not a mark for anything. Yeah. You're only excited when you know it was absolutely that great and that good. And but I remember that.
And you know,
Houston
one. Randy works like six shows a month because he's not a mark. He doesn't care if you can get to that vibe.
Sure.
Like all of us here.
Yeah.
Basically on the show.
Randy has got to be. He reminds me very much a lot of Nick.
Of Nick.
Yeah, a lot of Nick. A lot of it in their eyes. A little of the crazy is there, and at any moment it can pop off. But it's good.
But
crazy.
The good thing is, at least Nick is straight edge. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Well, Randy to me, oh man, he's one of those guys that, like, if I could sneak somebody into All In, if I could, it would be Randy. Like that. He had
Here's
no.
The best thing is you don't have to sneak anybody in. It could be Funaki and his.
Why we keep going back to Funaki?
Funaki's already sold out.
Yeah. I don't think Funaki's on the show.
Yeah, Funaki is not.
Listen, I want Funaki on the show. Yeah. Now listen, guys, congratulations! All In sold out in 30 minutes. You guys are changing the game, and I'm very excited and happy about it. And I'm hoping that when I get home from this tour, I'm going to open my mailbox and find an invitation. Go all in. You actually, Cody, both all in.
I don't know if I can say this on the air, but you have this whole Piper doesn't work in Portland.
What does that mean, though? That's a dusty thing. I don't know what that means.
Piper doesn't work in Portland. I believe it's Don probably knows this. Piper refused to work in Portland when he was with Vince, when he first got,
when he would go home for
that was the territory he grew up in. So Piper refused to work in Portland. That's your rule, is out of respect to Vince, you don't do anything in the States. I mean, we're talking about it, and like
he texts me, he goes, "Listen, I know the Piper doesn't work in Portland rule." And I was like, I don't even know what that means. It's a dusty thing. I almost wanted to call Dustin to explain.
Dustin wouldn't know as anything.
No,
man.
And no, he'd be like, "Don't call me, man. I'm just happy to be here."
Dustin's terrified he's gonna get fired over all the things I do. Like, yeah. Please stop doing this.
Piper doesn't work in Portland. Jericho doesn't work in the States, but that might change. Listen, man. Okay. It's a whole new world.
Good to
there's
know.
A lot of money and there's a lot of opportunity. So listen, maybe we might all in too.
I mean, if Bernard the Business Bear put the Walls of Jericho on somebody,
oh
and
my
then
God.
We took that head off and the 10,000 people
me,
erupted.
That Funaki might have all in too. Jericho Funaki main event. We'll see you there. It's in the Sheboygan War Memorial, commentated by Don Callis and Tony Candelo.
Oh, yes. We're killing the business.
All right, tickets to All In are sold out, but you can get the pay-per-view on the Fight TV app, the Honor Club streaming service, and on traditional pay-per-view outlets. And don't miss Zero Hour, the hour-long pre-show airing on WGN America. Thanks to Cody and the Young Bucks for joining me. And they're also going to be joining us on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea. It's close to selling out as well. Only a few cabins left at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. So book yours now. And once you do, remember, all the activities on the ship are free. Everything included in the price of your cabin: food, live podcasts, concerts, comedy shows, meet and greets, autograph signings, wrestling matches. You want to go meet the Young Bucks and Cody? You take a picture with them. You get something signed from them. And you don't have to worry about paying a thing. It's all inclusive when you book your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And here's what we know for sure. As we inch ever closer to a sellout, there's going to be a match. The biggest match, the Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club. It's the Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson, versus Kenny, Cody, and Marty Scurll. Only going to see that on the Jericho Cruise. And also, how about Impact versus Ring of Honor, kicking that off, Sammy Callahan versus Marty Scurll. Then we got the LAX versus the Young Bucks. And then John Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Impact, he's going to be on the ship. He wants to take on the whole Bullet Club. Brian Cage wants to take on the whole Bullet Club. How about Live Talk is Jericho with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat? Live Talk is Jericho, remembering Eddie Guerrero with Conan, Rey Mysterio. Live Talk is Jericho with the entire Bullet Club. Live Talk is Jericho with Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. Mick Foley doing his 20 Years of Hell stand-up show, talking all about Hell in the Cell that happened 20 years ago. Crazy. Beyond the Darkness scaring the pants off you. Keep It 100 versus Killing the Town. Don Callis versus Conan. And of course, the first round of the Sea of Honor tournament from Ring of Honor. Lethal versus Whitmer. Daniels versus Delirious. Skrull versus Titus. Young versus Gordon. Bracket B. Mark Briscoe versus Ferrara, Page versus Kazarian, Cheeseburger versus Beer City Bruiser, and Jay Briscoe versus Kenny King. And we also got Colt Cabana, Marty DeRosa doing the Unprofessional Wrestling Show. So much stuff, I can barely keep up with it. Busted Open's going to be there. Live comedy from Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Ron Funches, The Impractical Jokers. Fozzy's going to be playing. Corey Taylor and Slipknot and Stone Sour. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons. King. The Stir. The Dave Spivak Project. The Darlings of Rock and Roll. The Cherry Bombs. The world's best female AC/DC tribute band, Shoot the Thrill. Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy cover band. Mandy Leon is going to be there. Kelly Klein is going to be there. Brandi Rhodes is going to be there. SoCal Val is the cruise director. Noel Foley is hosting. Everybody's going to be here. I'm out of breath. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Do not get left out. Come book your cabin now and be a part of history. All right. Coming up on Friday, talking about history, is about 37 years ago this month that MTV debuted. We're talking about the birth of MTV with original MTV VJ Mark Goodman is going to be here. This is an interesting story all about how MTV rose, fall, rose again, fell again, rose again, fell again. Mark Goodman, one of the first five, the original five MTV VJs. He was the guy with the curly hair. He's going to be here. Don't you dare miss it. In the meantime, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. And don't forget to go all in, baby.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.